And welcome, everybody, back to the Stolen Sports right here on the BDSIR Radio Network presented by Fox Sports. Listen, y'all hear my voice, best and worst of the weekend, and my voice should speak for itself, people. 347-637-3859 is the particular. That's the number to call in to the program. Also, follow the station, give you the identification at Soul, S-O-U-L, capital N. Sports on the Twitter, also 1340 AM Fox Sports on the Twitter. While you're at it, follow me at Mike underscore Pearman Senior and follow the network BDSR Network on Twitter, underscore network on Twitter as well. People, what a weekend, what a night of football, what a day of football. And first, guys, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, as you know I do, I want to give a special heart condolence felt out to my Oasis Fresh Fragrance members ministry praise and worship leader who have went on to the fame in gospel music, Mr. T.C. Clay from Delaware by way of Baltimore. He was a man with a dream who refused to work a regular job. He was more inspirational to me then I realized that he refused to work a standard 9-to-5, 7-to-3 job, and nothing would come in his way of him living his dream. He was found dead this morning, and my heart goes out to his family, to his children, that I wish them all the best. May God bless you in heaven, buddy. So today's show is dedicated to you. Wasn't always the biggest sports fan, but he still knew how to make fun of people who love sports the way that we do. So this show goes out to my man, Mr. T.C. That's Clayboy123 on the Twitter. Music is amazing. You were amazing. Always laughing. Always having something nice to say. But as I wear my heart on my sleeve this week, people, as I said, best and worst of the weekend. Redskins, are they making their mark? Are they the team that people have forgotten about? Are they the team that will reign supreme over the NFC East? Also, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, now this is the part that's hard for me. I thought this morning waking up getting the bad news that I heard would be hard, but I'm a man of faith, and I believe that God has a plan, so I believe that, you know, he has a way. So when you put things in his hands, you know, you kind of get at ease. But in my sports life, oh, my brother, when I tell you, it's hard for me to sit here and say, Cowboys are for real. I said it. I never thought I would say it. I was completely wrong about one Ezekiel Elliott. I already knew about Ryan Prescott. I just hate the fact that he went to Dallas, and we will talk about it. The Dallas Cowboys, are they the best in not just the NFC, but in all in the NFC East, but in all of the NFC? Let's talk about that. How good are the Dallas Cowboys? Also, my Philadelphia Eagles. Are they who we thought they were? but we let him off the hook in the word of Mr. Dennis Green. I mean, seriously, this team, I don't know. I thought I was watching a Ron Rivera-led defense with a wide nine. As of all teams, the Washington Redskins ran roughshod with a simple one-cut running back and decimated the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday. Also, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, the NLCS, the ALCS. The ALCS gets back on the night as the Cleveland Indians got to go up 3-0, but the NLCS, my Chicago Cubs, fall 1-0 yesterday. But, I mean, let's be honest, Clayton Kershaw, without the postseason failures that he's had in years past, has been the best pitcher in baseball, roughly, arguably, for the last 5 years. Held him to one run yesterday, a 1-0 victory for the Los Angeles Dodgers as that game moves to L.A. Let's talk about that. Also, tonight, WWE Raw, listen, it's the best and worst of the weekend. And I don't always talk about wrestling anymore because I'm not always on the show the way I want to be on the show on Mondays. You can hear my voice when I'm here. Give it that good old little Jimmy try, as they say. But also, as I wear my heart on my sleeve, best and worst of the weekend, that Monday Night Football and much, much more. But I got to welcome in my crew so they can talk, so I can shut up and rest my voice. The only brother I know that's better than me in radio because he has my name. Well, not really, but it's Mike and Micah. What's going on, Micah?
Yo, 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 my brother, the guy from another mother. It's that guy, the other Mike, but it's Micah. That's why it's kind of an other, but that's okay. We're still the best tandem of Mike and Mike on the radio right now. I guarantee you, if you haven't sent your video in yet, Mr. Pierman, to that special four-letter network, and so that you can get on there and fry Stephen A. and Mike and Max Kellerman a new one, please do. We didn't need you to be on that show. Please. I mean, they still accepted contestants, and I guarantee you,
I had no idea they were doing something like that.
Yo, dude, I am saying it right now on the BDS Hour. I'm saying it right now, right here on this show.
Right now.
That
right here,
I
right
know
now.
If you were to do a video, they would not pick you because they will be scared of what's going to happen to them on live TV. I guarantee you, because I saw the scrubs. I'm sorry, all y'all people who sent their videos, y'all are fantastic people. You're wonderful people. But let me tell you something. Y'all scrubs, okay? If I was to take one rant from Mike Pierman Sr. and put it on there with the facts and stuff that y'all came up with, y'all sound like clones. You sound like drones. You know, sound like you was actually in radio before. Heck, I only been in radio for about a year and I sound like I have no fear. Y'all guys sound like you're scared. Don't be scared of Stephen A. Smith and his hairline. It's going backwards. Don't be afraid of Max Kellerman. He just got there. The brother's primarily a boxing man. And that's fine. He ain't got anything else in football or basketball. Give him boxing, he can eat you alive. But don't give him any other sport, he sucks. You ain't got nothing to be afraid of. Y'all talking like you're scared. All right, I'm good. I'm done. I think I've calmed down. You know, I've calmed myself. I've calmed myself. I think we can bring in the rest of the crew.
go right ahead. As my voice is worse than I thought it was. Go ahead. Who we got with us? Is the whole crew here today? I know Huggo's not
here
today, but...
Nah, man, I'm impressed. I'm impressed with the Don King thing, man. That was vicious. That was something else, man. Yeah, Michael was like, Don King, you promote Void better than anybody I've ever seen in my life.
You gotta do it right. You gotta do it right. I guarantee you, there's gonna be an event that Mike and I are gonna go to, and I guarantee you, we're gonna do really, really well because I refuse to sit there with so much gold around me and not make something happen. So Mike knows what I'm talking about, and we're gonna make it happen.
Yes, I do.
Yes, sir.
Yes, what is going on, sir?
Four straight wins. How you feeling?
Oh man, you know I'm a realist. You know what I'm saying? It's still early. Four straight wins. I mean they've done whatever it takes to win games. But it feels good, man. It does. It feels good. I'm the same person that the season's over, so I can't go back and say like, all right, you know what I mean? Like I ain't say it. I said it, and they're proving me wrong. So,
well, you know what? Yesterday, and it don't happen often. I'm never that type of person. Actually, I hate people to do the things that I was doing yesterday to Wally. But I felt like, you know, Wally's always a great person and his spirit is always wonderful. I can always mess with Wally. And I started picking and talking trash about the Eagles, and messing with them. And sure enough, I could not mess with them yesterday as I tried to go ahead and I gave him the crying Jordan meme on his thing for the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, the Baltimore Orioles, and they're losing. I'm talking trash to someone on his page, like, blatantly, like, I hate you today. I'm not your friend until after this game is over. So the game got over, and just like Wally always does, he just took it like, yeah, you know, well, that's what it is. You lost that game. But Wally, we're going to get into that a little bit later and how great the Washington Redskins looked, in my opinion, today. And you know what hurts me, Wally? I know you don't have to admit this, because being the Washington Redskins fan, you are, like I always tell people, I can be the secondary fan of a hater of a Cowboy, because that's not really my rivalry. My rivalry is really the New York Football Giants. That's your number one rivalry. If you go down the history in sports, it grows, you know, Yankees, Red Sox, Washington and Dallas Cowboys, Cubs and Cardinals. And, I mean, so for you guys, that is very important. But what we're going to do right now, we're going to take a break so I can get my voice together. Come right back after the break. Here's a song of my man. May he rest in peace, man. I mean, I never forget the time he told me he was going to be on The Wire. And I remember laughing at him saying, what you mean you're on The Wire? He said, yeah, I'll be on The Wire. And so nothing, the scene in season 4 on The Wire where he was walking past one of the most pivotal scenes in the movie, in the TV show. So may he rest in peace. May God bring blessings to his family. So here's a little song for my man T.C. Clay. Rest in peace, Clay boy. We love you, man. We'll be right back, y'all. Fox Sports Radio 1340, WHAP Hopewell.
I'll close my eyes and I'll listen. Stretch out my hands and I'll feel you. I'll rely on every word you say. I know you'll never ever lead me astray.
And we are back right here on BDSR Network. Rest in peace, Thomas. Rest in peace, man. 347-637-3859. Micah, actually, do me a favor, man. Play an ad. And I'm sorry, guys. It hit me a little bit more than I thought it would. I need a break. So we're going to take another break right here. And we'll be right back. Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP. You got it, Micah?
I'm pulling it out. It did that thing where it likes to say, hey, we're going to do something. Here we go.
Make a dollar.
And we are back, Fox Sports Radio, 1340 WHAP Hopewell, the soul in sports, man. And I got to say this much to you, Wally. I mean, I didn't call this one, you know, and typically my fandom is out of the way. And I really thought it might have been looking at what I saw with the Eagles. I thought, you know, what Detroit happened, I thought the Eagles kind of gave that game away. I thought the refs kind of gave it away. And let me say this, and before I take anything away from what the Washington Redskins did yesterday. Seriously, before I take anything from the Redskins, you watched the game, Wally. I know you did. I know you dissected the way I dissected. Am I wrong by saying there were a lot of BS calls the Philadelphia Eagles got that the Redskins didn't get? Did it seem that way to you? Because as an Eagle fan, I watched that game and said almost every third down conversion for the Redskins, when the Eagles would get pressure, I thought that was holding up the middle. I'm not talking about the stupid wide nines they were running. There were some bad calls in that game on the Eagles side of the football that aided the Washington Redskins, in my opinion, and a dominating victory.
I didn't see it that way. I did see one call. I mean, to be honest with you, I know the pass interference that I want to say, was it Carroll? I thought it was bogus. I thought it was a bogus pass interference. I do remember watching. I remember turning around and be like, oh, that's a bad call. But in terms of, like, the holding and stuff like that, I could play. Like, I mean, being a fan, I sit back and watch games, and I'm always thinking that, you know, like, the Redskins, like, Kerrigan always gets held, or Baker is always getting held. So I kind of look at things that way myself.
I wish they'd have held Kerrigan more, because you talked about on Friday a pass rush. And I'm saying, I don't really see a pass rush. And all of a sudden, my dumb, feeble, idiotic mind. If I call our fans idiots, right, when they say dumb things, I call myself idiot, right? My idiot self forgot that we lost our right tackle. And when I said I forgot, I surely got introduced to Kerrigan, Ryan Kerrigan, that is, if you're nasty, very, very fast. Matter of fact, first play and second play of the game, the boy had sacks. Okay.
Yeah, it was surprising. I mean, it was surprising to the point where the defensive line could get that much pressure. And to be honest, but I gassed up, and I mentioned, I still mean that the Eagles' front four is an awesome front four. But I'm surprised with the Redskins were able to do with the running game against that front four, and even for pass protection wise. Looking at the game, it was like the Redskins won the game in the trenches, which I didn't think was going to happen, to be honest with you. You know, I was like, you know what, you know, Fletcher Cox, to me, still had an imprint in the game. But, you know, it was to a point where the Redskins offensive line, they outplayed the Eagles D-line. And then you got the Redskins defensive line against the Eagles offensive line. We saw the pressure they got and whatnot. So, that surprised me. I wouldn't have thought that. I would have thought Kirk Cousins would have got more. They would have got more pressure on Kirk Cousins. That's what I would have thought.
They got pressure, but Kirk played a hell of a football game.
I agree with you. That too. I won't say he played a hell of a game because there were still plays that pitch pitch was bad. But I will say that improvement was there. Improvement was definitely there. He did things that we talked about. He did things that we talked about, Mike. Yeah.
But during that pick six, right, I thought it was a bad throw, but it was maybe as many calls as we didn't get. I definitely saw a holding on that one. You know what I mean? And it didn't come back, so that maybe that should have came back, you know, and not counted as it did. But to me, as you're talking about the trenches, and we get Mike in here in a second, what baffled me the most was, Castiel, whatever the guy's name is, from 2 years ago, was the defensive coordinator for the Philadelphia Eagles?
Yeah, Castillo.
Castillo. And he came up with that stupid wide nine.
Yeah.
Why would the Philadelphia Eagles, with this front four, front seven, the way we all thought it was, play a wide nine against – I got you guys haven't been running the ball very successful. I get that. But all that changed very quickly on Sunday afternoon with that wide nine. And I'm watching it. I'm going over. And they kept saying, see these holes the line are making. You see these holes the line are making. I'm saying the line doesn't have to make a hole. The Eagles are giving them a hole to run through.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not your vantage point?
Well, I looked at it like, oh, this is one thing. When I talk about the Redskins running game, it's not that their running game is bad. It's been effective. The problem is their run game is Jay Gruden is stubborn. He doesn't want to run the ball as much. So when guys are going good, he doesn't like run the ball. He's a quarterback. Jay Gruden's a quarterback. All right, so you know, quarterback likes to throw the ball. It is what it is. So he puts more on Kirk Cousins. Now in this game, they ran all three running backs and Thompson and Matt Jones and even Robert Kelly. So now they had more of an emphasis in running the ball. Now I will say wide nine, there are holes in Lance, so I do agree with you. But I'm not a guy that doubts Schwartz. I like Jim Schwartz. I think he's a really good defensive coordinator.
He was not
a good head coach.
He was until yesterday. He was a
definitely.
To me, the game plan the Philadelphia Eagles defensively had yesterday was the worst defensive game plan since he's been in Philadelphia, which is six games in. It was a very, very bad, game plan. And watching that game, like I said, the Washington Redskins were known going into this game not being able to run the football. So you thought, well, maybe we'll get pressure on the outside. The Redskins said, well, they're going to give us pressure. We're going to go right down their throats. Because, I mean, from the outside of the game, that's what we thought. Micah, your take from this Washington Redskins, and I will pose that question after you answer, what's your thoughts on the game?
For me, man, when I was watching this game yesterday, I was doing a whole bunch of stuff yesterday because, you know, it's a boy, so everyone, you know, we talk about that later. That's one of my best of the weekend. But, you know, with all that I was doing, I was watching this game, and I was seeing something that I personally thought I wasn't going to see out of the Redskins offensive line, and that's them being physical against a defense that's actually pretty physical. I thought the Philadelphia Eagles, their front four, as a physical front four, that, you know, they can really get up the quarterback, they can really do a good job of that, make like heck for whoever they're playing against and when they get their pass rush going. But to create a situation in which if you toss in Kirk Cousins and his 8 yards, where an offense had over 200 yards rushing against you, then I was sitting like, I was looking at it, I was like, the holes can't be that big. Can't be, what? The Redskins don't know how to run the ball. What is going on here? Something's creepy. I don't get it. And that's why I was confused, because the Redskins team that I saw was a team that was seemed to be a run first and run heavy offense. And I was like, Matt Jones got off 135 yards by himself. I was like, what is going on? This is a Twilight Zone. The Redskins are rushing as if they got the Hogs 2 point, as if they actually got the Hogs blocking for them. Dallas Cowboys beating the crap out of the Green Bay. What is going on here? This is Twilight Zone.
We're talking about the Washington Redskins. We're not talking about nobody else yet. Don't be jumping ahead. Nobody asking to fast forward to the show because you don't like the Washington Redskins. Your coach still sucks Donkey Kong nuts. Okay? But don't go there.
My coach ain't got no dime in this dog. This is all NFC East that I'm looking at.
All right, then. Let's get back to the NFC East.
I was really impressed with the run game.
Well, speaking of the NFC East, I asked that question. I'm going to start off with Wally. They won four straight. And say what you want. They lost a very tough game to Dallas. Okay? But this season's not over. It's chess, not checkers. Speaking of that, hashtag bet that. My first huge winning week this week is my upsets and my locks. Won this week. I told you guys the coach who that would go in there and beat the Carolina Panthers. I did call that game, by the way. But the NFC, does it belong to the Washington Redskins, Wallace? A lot of good football left.
Not right now. I mean, they're not the best team in the NFC East right now. If they were, I would say yes, but they're not. That belongs to another team. We'll talk about them later. But they're on the road, though. They're on the road. They're getting better. They're playing better football. They're getting healthier. And they're getting confidence. That's the most important thing in this winning streak. And you got to see it. Like, yeah, this team is still on the defensive side of the ball, still giving up long runs or, you know, good enough runs. If you look at the average yards per carry, even in the Eagles game, it was over five. So they're still giving up, you know, five-plus yards per carry as a defense. But you can see the confidence. And I think
Are they making a mark? Are they stamping? Are they imprinting their spot in the NFC to let the Dallas Cowboys know we're still here?
Yeah,
you hear the
rookie
Francois say after the game.
Yeah, I think so. I agree. I mean, they wanted like all right. So like you know, wrestling, Nature Boy Ric Flair. What do you say?
To be the man, you got to beat the man. To be the man, you got to beat the man.
All right. So when the end of the season, they you know right now towards this season, the Washington Redskins are the NFC East champs. You got to throw them. So in that regard, he's right. Ricky Francois is totally right. They're the best team. They're the best team till this season ends. In the NFC East, they had a chance. They won the NFC East last year. Now, whatever happens when the season ends and something changes, then yeah, that other team may be the champions of the NFC East. But I'm saying right now, till the season's over, yeah, I feel what he's saying. You know what I mean?
Well,
but I know the Cowboys. I mean, all these teams in the NFC East, they can compete with each other regardless. But we already know that. It's the NFC East. It's always been that way.
347-637-3859. Micah, I want to ask you this question now. Off the comments of Wally, are the Redskins, you know, making a mark? I mean, it is chess. You know, you lost a couple home games there against the Cowboys. Did you go and you win your next home your next divisional game? Against the Philadelphia Eagles, who were trying to make their mark in this division. Are the Redskins solidifying their place to let the Dallas Cowboys know that they're still here to win this division?
I honestly believe so. I think Redskins are making their mark because, you know, they came in with high expectations. The first 2 weeks were letdowns, and people were, you know, and Wally admits, and very few Redskins fans will say this, but that's why Wally is an intelligent Redskins fan. Admit that he started writing them off. She was over. It's done.
I'm sorry.
And she,
is there stupid Redskins fans?
Yes, plenty of them.
Okay.
Plenty of them.
He said that guy. His name is M.E. Richmond on the Twitter.
I said, I'm not afraid. I'll back my words up. I'll get my face caved in, but at least you know I was serious. And I stay true to my word. But no, honestly, they have, outside of the very first loss they had against Pittsburgh, where that was just pretty much they just got a mud hole or something. Every game in these last five games, with the exception of the Pittsburgh game, on the last five games have all been very competitive games. They've been in them or leading them, obviously with the four straight wins, you know, but they figured out a way to win. They were scrappy. They were competitive. They just didn't give up. You know, you can see a team that, like, gives up on plays, and we'll talk about that later when we get to it. I got one guy who gave up on a play. Look at wide receiver right in the eye and say, you know what, go ahead and get touchdown. I'm like, what? Who does that at a professional level? So what I'm seeing from the Redskins is that the team at first looked like they were dejected, looked like they were downtrodden, looked like they weren't going to go ahead and do anything, weren't going to repeat or even make a stick to be NFC East champs again. But now I see a team that they're figuring out ways, no matter what their deficiencies are, to win games. And to win games against people who I believe are not scrubs. I don't believe the Eagles are a scrub team. If they win, I believe they're going to beat Dallas this next meeting they're going to have. And Dallas is not going to be a scrub team. We see that. I see them doing some other damage against other teams because they're actually beating teams that have something more to offer than, like, you know, being sub 500 or below to give them an easy win. So they're actually beating teams that have something to offer now, which is making me a little bit more of a believer for them this season. So, no, I think they have a chance. Now, I don't know about that rivalry they got in Big D, but, you know, but it's going to be scrappy that second game they're going to play. It's going to be real scrappy.
347-637-3859. We're going to take a break right here. Come back after the break, and we're going to talk some more NFC East, some more Washington Redskins, the NLCS. Has Cub fans ready to start jumping off bridges yet after losing one game? I don't know. Let's ask the fans. 347-637-3859. We'll be right back, y'all. Solid Sports, BDSR Networks, presented by Fox Sports 1340. We'll be right back.
If you liked us before, you're going to love us now.
We've brought Fox Sports Radio to the Tri-City.
All right, that's all I needed to know.
This is Fox Sports Radio 1340.
Buying or selling a home or business is a monumental endeavor. Old Dominion Title Company will provide the professional and courteous service you deserve during this complex transaction. Timely preparation of title documents, award-winning customer service, competitive pricing. All you need to do is sign on a dotted line. Get a free no-obligation quote by calling 804-526-8000 or visit Old Dominion Title and Escrow at 2425 Boulevard, Suite 5 in Colonial Heights. Old Dominion Title and Escrow, earning your business through excellence in service.
Holmes Auto Center takes a special time to salute the Charles City men and women in uniform that have answered the call for our freedoms. Give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace around the world. That's from Holmes Auto Center, where service is more than a word. It's a fact backed by the right know-how and experience proven by customers who wouldn't trust their work to anyone but Holmes Auto Center at 7500 Lot Carey Road in Charles City, saying USA all the way.
Lowest Price Auto Glass in Prince George reminds listeners military involvement should be the last resort of any nation. We are fortunate that when necessary, we have one of the strongest military forces in existence. The individuals who make up our military deserve our respect and support, and we salute them. This message from Lowest Price Auto Glass at 40807 Puddle Dock Road in Prince George. Stop in or call for any of your auto glass needs at 862-2886 on the air because they care. Rosa's Italian Restaurante Pizzeria, where the taste of Mama Rosa's special sauces and freshly made pizza dough and dinner breads merge to bring you Italian cuisine in the atmosphere of Italy. There is simply no comparison. Bring the kids to climb the steps to watch as our cooks spin the pizza in the air before cooking your pizza in our flaming hot pizza oven. Alcoholic beverages such as beer, wine, and mixed drinks also available to enhance your experience of our real Italian tradition. Wednesday through Friday, buffets from 11 to 2 p.m. Or our breakfast buffet Sundays from 9 to 2 p.m. along with our patio seating and banquet facilities and our pickup window, make Rosa's Italian Restaurante Pizzeria, located at Colonial Corner Shopping Center, 4098 Oaklawn Boulevard in Hopewell, your best choice of Italian cuisine in the area. That Rosa's Italian Restaurante Pizzeria, located at the Colonial Corner Shopping Center in Hopewell. For more information, call 804-458-8744. Call 804-458-8744 today.
Fox Sports Radio 1340.
They're able to step up to the microphone during the hardest of times.
Giving you Tri-City sports.
I live there. That's my home.
I'm a homer.
We're the home of the Wizards, the Orioles, the VCU Rams, the Hopewell Blue Devils, March Madness. Welcome home. This is the new Fox Sports Radio 1340.
Doing what we do best, and I asked the question, and this time I'm going to be a little different. I'm going to go to the resident Colts fan. I got to ask you this, Micah. Are the Philadelphia Eagles who they thought we were? But we're not about the hook!
No, man, I don't think y'all left them off the hook. I don't think y'all left them off the hook. Look, they started out fantastic. You know, Carson Wentz, I believe, is honestly the real deal. And just like anything else during the football season, y'all caught some snags, you know. Got a bad breakup in Detroit, which I think was crap. That's my opinion. I think it was crap. I'm not even an Eagles fan, but I saw it. And when I saw it, I was like, that's messed up. You know, the Redskins game was a very physical game. It happens. Things happen. But what's going to be the true measure of your team is to figure out whether or not they're going to be able to bounce back. So I believe Carson Wentz has the mental and the sense of fortitude to go ahead and go through adversity. Just a matter of the team around him is going to be able to do the same thing. I think your defense is going to be fine. They're only going to get better. I think the game plan, like you said, the game plan for this last game was just a little off. But outside of that, you got a more than decent offense. You have a more than decent defense. And you've proven that you can beat some of the best offenses and some of the best defenses in the NFL in the first three games. So it ain't like y'all just randomly scrubs. Y'all just hit a snag. It's football. It happens. That's my belief, Mike. That's my belief on that one. I think y'all are fine.
Well, I got to be who I am, and that's an Eagle fan that tells it how it is. And Eagle fans always jump ahead of the curve. That's what we do. We're Eagle fans. We go, we're this, we're that, when technically we suck. And I'm going to say this much. After watching that game yesterday, I think the Eagles are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook. I don't see nothing different from this team after that game yesterday than what I witnessed last year. And now, one of my biggest concerns this year was when I'm talking about the offensive line and, you know, thinking, could they hold up? Would they hold up? Could they be, would they do the job? And it's something I heard Mark Schlereff say, and he says, you know, we can't make any excuses. Redskins had a guy out. Cowboys had a guy out. Everybody gets guys hurt or suspended, whatever the case may be. It's next roster up. What makes a great team, truly, is depth, the depth of a team. I'm not saying that – I mean the depth going in deep, more next guy up mentality. So we lose our Pro Bowl right tackle, right guard, and this rookie steps in play, and he gets completely manhandled. At one point, I feel like – everybody watched, remember the Titans, right? Remember they said, damn it, Ray, grab him, push him, do something. That's how I felt with this offensive line as Carson Wentz had no time to do nothing all day. And don't even get me started on the defense that I still think is a very talented defense, but we know one thing about the NFL. If your safety and your corners can't hold up for three, then your defensive line has nothing. Jim Schwartz, to compensate for the receiving core, which I said on this program several times, to me, the Redskins have the best offensive total receiving corps, maybe not the best receivers, but a total collection of a group, the best group of wide receivers, in my opinion, in the NFC, okay, that they would have a difficult time defending them because of how good the Redskins are. So what needs to change, what needs to happen is something. I don't know what it is. I don't know how to put my finger on it. I just know that this team right now have a lot of work in front of them. I think the only glaring part on this team is Carson Wentz. We talked about it before. The receivers, very, very mediocre. They can't get open. When they're open, they drop passes. They make things at times look spectacular until that time comes again, and then they falter. Wally, are the Philadelphia Eagles who we thought they were, and have we been letting them off the hook?
No, I think they're better than what I thought. I mean, I can speak for myself. They're better than what I thought. I think Carson Wentz is a guy that's going to be
special. I'm sorry. You're wrong. I'm interrupting. I'm just joking. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's all good. Man, I think Carson Wentz is going to be special. I think this, I mean, to me,
I do believe in Carson Wentz. I believe in him.
Yeah. I think the secondary to me has always been the problem. I think, I mean, once they – they're like, this is one thing. I mean, the Eagles, their front seven can do so much because they, to me, is a really good front seven. Next season, and whatever happens this season, the draft has a boatload of good top tier cornerbacks, and hopefully they do draft one of the elite cornerbacks. Because I mean, the first round you can get yourself a guy who can start on Sundays. Period. And it's that's how deep this draft is with cornerbacks. So, but they do need that guy. And in terms of wide receiver, I like Jordan Matthews. I think Jordan Matthews, he makes some, like you mentioned, spectacular catches. But he does drop passes. I think the Eagles are like one true number one away, because I think Jordan Matthews would be a better two. If they can get like a true number one, I think that makes their offense that more potent. I like the coaching. I think they're going the right direction. I mean, Rome wasn't built in a day. That's one thing I've learned throughout all the sports. Rome wasn't built in a day. So it's a process, and they're getting there right. They're aiming to that direction of being a quality team.
347-637-3859. And I agree, you know, in totality anyway, with your opinion there, Wally. I mean, this is the NFL, right? We're watching the Dallas Cowboys get better defensively. We're watching the Washington Redskins get better defensively. The Giants are trying to make the right spots. You can't get mad at so far, you know, picks not working out, but they're taking steps. When I watch this Eagles team, where are the steps defensively to get better?
Mm-hmm.
You sign Fletcher Cox, but you telling me you couldn't get no corner to come here?
Mm-hmm.
That you let Eric Rowe go, but yet Eric Rowe is starting for the New England and Patriots. So when I look at things like that, I go, well, if they're good enough for Bill Belichick, then why aren't they good enough for the Philadelphia Eagles?
Yeah, and so Bill Belichick might coach him up. You know how I coach him up, though. He'll make a bum into a superstar in a second. In terms
yeah,
of what
exactly.
He's seen happen.
Remember that dude Brown?
Yeah.
That receiver
exactly.
With the Jerry Curl?
Yeah,
that
what?
Guy.
look at Malcolm Butler. Malcolm Butler is a kid that no one even knew about. Like look, now he's a shutdown corner. I'm just telling you, the dude knows how to coach. That's one thing. I don't know what his program is about, but I don't know that much about his program for real. But I would love to be in that facility just to know what he tells these dudes and what he teaches these guys to play at a high level because he gets guys the ball. He just has the ball. Put it that way.
It's truly amazing what he does for these guys. 347-637-3859. I just look at this team and I go at the Eagles to me and what I saw in this game. And this is nothing taken away from the Redskins. It's actually I'm giving the Redskins praise here. To me, the game plan. When we look at Coach Gruden. I know I've picked on this before. I know you've been critical before of his coaching style. The hell of a game against the Eagles yesterday. Now, again, some would say they differ. Some would say, well, the 17 penalties helped the Redskins out. The Redskins only won by a touchdown, needed the final drive to run the clock out. Well, I remember the Eagles had a chance to tie the game in the final drive before they had to kick the ball away. You know what the Redskins did? They sacked them twice, and the Eagles got two penalties. To me, that's a team that has not turned the corner. It's been a long it feels like it's been a month since the Eagles won a game. Started off 3-0, had a bye, then lose two straight. That's how the game goes, you know. So looking at these Eagles, I'm not giving up. No, you know, I don't want people to think that's what I'm doing, but at all, it's a long way to go. And I do believe in Carson Wentz. I do think he's the real deal. Despite everything yesterday, you know, no interceptions, no fumbles, still made the right reads. But I'm going to say this about every single quarterback in the NFL. If you do not have, and this is a great segue, the offensive line needed, then you cannot perform in this league. And so that leads me to my next question, guys. Are the Dallas Cowboys the best team in the NFC? I'm going to go ahead with you and let you answer that question first there, Micah.
Mike, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it, no matter what Dallas fans say to me. Until I see them against Minnesota, they ain't the best team in the NFC. Now, if we want to just go by record, one team's undefeated, one team's not. There it is. You know, if we want to go by some other things that we see, we can see how Dallas's offensive line. And Ezekiel Elliott, we can see his progression as a running back, and we can see that he's going to quickly turn into one of the premier running backs in the league if his pace keeps up as he continues to get better in each game. You know, and that's what Dallas is able to do. On the flip side, Minnesota's able to run the ball. I ain't saying the Adrian Peterson style running the ball, where, you know, they killing you with 200-yard games or something. But by running back by committee, by a bunch of no-names, who I don't know them, no names, they're taking up the slack for Adrian Peterson, and they're doing enough to make defenses honest so that Sam Bradford can go ahead and go over the top. And Sam Bradford's playing well under North Turner. Rain Prescott is playing well in the Dallas Cowboys offense. Matt, if I had to give the nod to somebody on defense, I'm going with Minnesota's defense because Minnesota can destroy people with their defense and have proven they can win games with their defense. Dallas defense has been playing very well as well, but I don't believe they're playing to the level of Minnesota's defense. Let's see, what else can we compare? I'll just leave it there. So until I see that name and until I see Dallas beat Minnesota and beat them like they beat Green Bay, then no, Dallas is not going to be the best team in NFC. I will concede to you that when it comes to this division, I think they're the best team in the division. They've proven that they're the best team in this division right now. But as far as in the entire NFC, they still got to go through Minnesota for me to believe it.
Dallas Cowboys lost one game to who? New York Football Giants, right? Opening day, I believe by 2 points. I'm going to say this. And I'm not hating on the Minnesota Vikings. I am going off what I see on paper. Clearly, the Dallas Cowboys have the best – I mean, I'm sorry, Minnesota Vikings have a better defense. They've been on this train to be a top five defense over the last, 4 years? They proved that last year, being as dominant as they were. They proved that the year before as well. With that aside, I give every other notch to the Dallas Cowboys. There's no Adrian Peterson. So right now, Ezekiel Elliott, and I'm going to say this in totality. I think we need to get relaxed when I say this as well. Don't get your wrestling thongs up your arse, okay? I thought Ezekiel Elliott could not read a hole if he jumped out of one. But the holes that this offensive line presents for him and gives him, we're looking at 3 to 4 Hall of Famers on the Dallas Cowboys offensive line alone. Wally, who has – I won't say me because I can't do anything of what I used to could do besides mentally do it. Wally still has a little go. I watch Wally goes. He goes to the gym. He's playing tennis. He's playing basketball. Wally could run for 80 yards, again, behind that offensive line. So, with that being said, that's why they're that good. If you have an offensive line – that keeps you upright. Ask Peyton Manning. Ask Edgerrin James. Ask every running back. Every running back that has been behind this offensive line has been successful. Every one of them. Look at DeMarco Murray. What has he done since he left Dallas? Not a damn thing. Not a damn thing.
He looks all right.
Okay. This guy, Ezekiel Elliott, is leading the league in rushing. He's averaging 130 yards per game right now. And Ryan Prescott, not getting sacked, not getting hurried. I'm sorry. I think right now, I know I'm living for the moment, but the NFL, unlike any other sport, we're allowed to live for the moment because it's a week-to-week sport. It's not an every day. It's not 4 games a week. It's week-to-week, right? Minnesota's off this week, so guess what? I can't call them right now. But what I just saw yesterday against the Packers of Green Bay, in Green Bay, despite Aaron Rodgers not being the Aaron Rodgers, despite the Packers not being the offensive juggernaut they've been because they have no receivers as well, we saw that yesterday. I'm sorry, Dallas. I don't think your defense is that good. But I think behind that offensive line, they're a Super Bowl caliber team. And I think as of right now, the Dallas Cowboys are the best team in the NFC, Wally.
They're the best team in the NFC East. I'm giving that much, but I don't think they're the best team in the NFC.
I didn't say East.
I know what you said.
I'm picking on you.
Oh no, I don't think they're the best team. I just think you can put Atlanta in that box too. I think Atlanta, where they compete in Seattle, they're one of the better teams. They're one of the better teams too. I mean, if you look at who they played and what they've had, they dominated the Denver Broncos in Denver when they should have beat Seattle for real.
Denver Broncos.
This is when the Broncos were undefeated.
I'm just making Homer Simpson reference.
I know. You use Atlanta. I think Minnesota's the best team. I think the Cowboys are too, but I can argue and say Atlanta's just as good as the Cowboys just because of their offense. Their offense is on a whole different level right now. Right now. I mean, I don't know. That can change, but right now that offense is a whole different level.
Everybody says Ryan can't throw the ball downfield. When he's called upon to throw the ball downfield, he throws the ball. This is without Dez Bryant. When Dez comes back, I'm sorry, NFL, you need to look out. This kid's
but
for
you know
real.
What?
That offensive line's for real.
But we talked about this, this is the whole thing about Dak and Dez. Like, Dak and Dez don't even have that type of rapport. Like, Dak likes Beasley because Beasley runs route. Beasley gets open on the option route, so it's a little different.
Exactly.
The catch radius is a little different. So to me, it's not even like that, and that, and Dez don't even have that kind of rapport. Now Romo and Dez have that kind of rapport. You know why? Because Romo would just throw it up to Dez. He's like, go get it. I trust you. Just go get it. Dak Prescott's about getting you. If you wide open, I'm throwing the ball. That's the difference between Dak Prescott and Romo. Dak Prescott's about, hey, you wide open, I'm giving you the ball. With Jason Witten, you wide open, I'm giving you the ball. Tony Romo, I believe you, Dez. I know you're great. I'm gonna throw it up. You make a play.
I take nothing from that at all, right? But I don't think Ryan's stupid, okay? I think to play the quarterback position, you got to be some kind of special. right? Intelligent. Yeah. At least good ones are, right? Anybody, I mean, you got to be intelligent. Because I think as running back, and I don't take this the wrong way, guys, but running backs are a dime a dozen. Quarterbacks are not. So this is why I think Ryan a better player right now than Ezekiel Elliott. Because, I mean, running behind his line, I'm sorry, you can go ahead and bring that boy – Clinton Richardson in here, and he'll do the same thing. I think not with the speed of a Ezekiel, but I think running. But I think running the ball, he would be successful. And this is why I say this about what I was going to get to. He hasn't had Dez. He doesn't have to have a forward Dez, because what you just said at the end makes all the difference in the world. If Dez is open, he will get the ball going deep. Yeah. It'd be Dez. Having a weapon like Dez, it's like bringing Gronkowski back, to the New England Patriots. It makes a difference, Wally.
No, I don't think I think Dez is a playmaker. I just feel like Dak and Dez is a playmaker. So all elements, it plays its part. But at the same time, the way Dak plays ball and why he's winning is because he doesn't force plays. Dez is a demonstrative individual, and it's not a knock on Dez Bryant. This is not. It's the same issue I had with say Jimmy Graham when he went to Seattle. Russell Wilson. And the way they run, they play football in Seattle is we get the ball to Marshawn Lynch. This ain't the Saints. We ain't gonna throw you the ball when we just want to throw the ball. We like to run the ball. So now you like look at what Tony Romo did in Dallas. They threw the ball a lot. They threw a ball a lot. Regardless, before Ezekiel Elliott, before they threw the ball a lot. And with this, Dak Prescott ain't that type of dude. He's not going to just throw the ball up. He's about let's do the safe play and whatnot. Even if he sees that, if Dez is covered going deep. And he sees Cole Beasley. This is the example I use. Cole Beasley is open on the option route, right? That's a 5-yard pass. Dez got man to man coverage. Who do you think he's throwing the ball to? Cole Beasley's wide open, but Dez got man to man coverage. Who do you think he's throwing the ball to? He ain't throwing the ball to Dez. He don't go to Cole Beasley because Cole Beasley's wide open. He knows that's a safe pass. But let that be a Tony Romo with a Dez Bryant, and we've seen Dez Bryant make that catch a number of times. He won't get that same pass and that because that won't trust it because that. Is all he's about protecting the ball and doing the smart thing as a quarterback. That's not a knock on Dez Bryant, but I don't think it's as that. Dak is good because of what is because he won't take that unnecessary chance. Put it that way.
347-637-3859. A lot can be discussed with that.
Why are we talking so much Cowboys, man? You're making me sick, man. It's making me sick.
I'm
messing with you.
Both teams were impressive yesterday. I spoke Redskins first, right? We got to call
them. I'm messing
NFL.
With you.
Hey, come on, Martin. Don't do that to me, Martin. I'm just saying, these guys right now are looking really good. And I know it's hard.
Oh,
trust me, you think it's easy for me? I've hated the Dallas Cowboys since I can – Not, that would be a lot. I could say the word football, but I've hated the Dallas Cowboys since I paid attention to football. Since I knew what football was, I've hated the Dallas Cowboys. I've hated the 5-point star for stupid reasons. I'm from the South Side of Chicago, and that star didn't represent my area that I grew up in. Okay, so I didn't like the 5-point star, so I hated them for that. I hated the fact they were called America's team because they had a hole in the roof so God could see his team play on Sunday. I hated all those great analogies of the Dallas Cowboys. I hated the Dallas Cowboys because fans that would live in Mexico would be Cowboy fans. At least I can give them a little bit more credit because they're close to Dallas, but it'd be like Eagle fans or people in Philadelphia, people in California that are Cowboy fans. Pewee, I wipe my bung with you. That's what I think of fans. So don't – if this is my opinion. I know you don't have to agree. I know most of you want to agree. If you had not lived in said city, paid taxes in said city, or was born in said city, you are a secondary fan. You are a secondary fan. Why? People say, well, that's not fair. I can be a fan whatever I want to like. Because when they win a championship, I said this when the Lakers won a championship, right? And I was in a bar with my wife, was at Fridays, and everybody was cheering for Kobe. It's when they beat the Celtics that time. And I'm like, when Kobe wins a championship, he doesn't say, I want to thank all my fans in the world. They don't say that. We say, we thank you to fans of L.A. You're the greatest fans in the world. So all you guys that cheer for these teams, they don't cheer for you. They don't care about your applause. They care about your money, but they don't care about your applause. 347-637-3859. Listen, we're going to take a break. I'm going to put something on his throat. No broke back. Pause. Think about it. All right? Going to come right back. after that break, we're going to talk again. One more thing. We got to keep it in the NFL right now. Monday Night Football is tonight. Monday Night Raw is tonight. NLCS is tomorrow, and the ALCS is also going on tonight. We'll be right back, y'all. Fox Sports Radio, 1340 WHAP Hopewell. Micah, take it away. 347-637-3859 is the number to call in. And people, listen, when I tell you that I'm excited about today's show, I really mean that. A lot is going on, and the NFL was amazing. Weekend was absolutely hard for me, Micah. I mean, my Eagles lose, my Cubs lose, my Notre Dame loses, I lose a close friend. Not the greatest weekend of all for myself. But speaking of baseball, the Cubs win game one of the NLCS on Saturday. Comeback last night against arguably one of the best pitchers of the last 5 years in Clayton Kershaw, despite all the, you know, we picked on him for his playoff failures and shortcomings, but pitched a dynamic game yesterday. One lucky hit, that's all it takes. Adrian Gonzalez in the bottom of the top of the first inning hits a home run. I mean, top of the second inning hits a home run to give the Dodgers a 1-0 lead, and that's all Clayton Kershaw would need as he shut down the Cubbies from there on out. Let me just say this much to Cub fans out there, or to people who watch the Cubs and watch the fan base, whatever it is you pay attention to when, you know, certain teams are out there. As a Cubs fan, it is the hardest thing in the world to stay positive. Micah, it's I'm more positive that I can walk into a bank and get a loan of $75,000 than I am in the Chicago Cubs. And the reason because history, statistics, stats, they're real. It's real to me, damn it. And the fact that the Cubs, and I mean, I still got hope. I still got faith. Don't get me wrong. We're still only 7 wins away from winning the World Series. So it's not that. And we went against Clayton Kershaw. There is no more Clayton Kershaw on the Dodgers team that I need to worry about. But this is what does bother me about the Chicago Cubs. Not just the history that's in front of us. When you're looking at the history of the Cubs and you look at this team, you go, well, and it's such an interview that Chris Bryant had on Fox Sports yesterday. And he says, you know, we don't think about that. We know that. We know about it, but we don't think about that. You know, we're here to do what we got to do. But here goes the best offense in baseball, best pitching staff in baseball, or amongst one of the best offenses in baseball, top three. They're batting a woeful 200 as a team. Our best hitters are 1-47 combined between Anthony Rizzo, I mean two, and Addison Russell. No one's hitting the ball well outside Tapio Baez. And occasionally we get a spurt of greatness from Chris Bryant and Dexter Fowler. But this team is not hitting the ball. They're hitting when they need to hit through the playoffs. That's what got them here to the NLCS. But yesterday could not string hits together when it mattered most, Micah. So this is why we're depressed the way we are, Mike.
I know you're a Cubs fan. I know you're a Cubs fan. Look, man. Look, I want to focus on the positive of what has happened to your team. I want to think about it like this. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. As I'm learning of America's pastime, I'm learning that there's certain trends that happen, there's certain things that happen in sports. And one thing that I noticed was that these last two seasons, the Cubs have been the talk of the town when it comes to being one of the, if not the best team in baseball, definitely one of the best teams, if not the best team in the National League. I don't remember outside of maybe, was it a World Series appearance in the last couple of years, 20 years or so, outside of that one time where the Cubs were in consistent talks of, hey, we actually got a championship contender now. So when I'm hearing this from you, Mike, I'm saying to myself, I understand you have that you have what I have as a Colts fan. You have it's fake optimism, where it's like, well, if my team stinks, if we win games, fantastic. Hey, if we get to the playoffs and actually get to the championship game, hey, even better. But my expectations are low. Don't they lose? Then it doesn't hurt me as much as me really, really getting my hopes up. You know, and in y'all's case, after 100-some-plus years of getting your hopes up, you know. But let me tell you something. Maybe this is just me, but there's a guy who's running for president right now, talking about making America great again. You got a manager named Joe Madden. And let me tell you something, sir. He has made the Cubs great again. And you know what? I don't care what the pundits say about y'all, quote-unquote, being exposed to the bathroom stuff. Because let me tell you something. It's the only guy you really have to worry about on their pitching roster is Clayton Kershaw, and they just keep using him. There's no way someone's arm in the postseason can hold up for that long. They keep on using
what
him
mean?
On two and three.
What do you mean? You never remember the name. Dennis Eckersley, do you not remember the name? What's my man, Morris, from back in the early 90s that played for the Minnesota Vikings? I mean, this is I don't buy. You don't get tired this time of year, you know. And like the great Hall of Famer John Smoltz said, if anything's tired on Clayton Kershaw, it's mentally he's not. I mean, mentally he may be tired because mentally you're not prepared that way. But if this guy's getting paid hundreds of millions of dollars, so I don't buy. And again, I know Clayton Kershaw is their only starting problem we worry about as a Cubs fan, but their bullpen is amongst the best in baseball. And Jensen can come in and close the door, as you saw that yesterday as well.
Well, and that may be true, but at the same time, I really honestly don't believe that a team that's contending for their division championship, for their division championship, and will, in my opinion, still contend for a World Series championship. I honestly don't believe that the bat's going to go cold for four straight games now. I really don't believe these next three games that's played. Let's say it's three games in a row. Three games in a row, those bats are not going to go cold. I'm sorry. They're not going to go cold. Now, your guy's going to explode, and your team is going to win this series. Because, you know, in my opinion, the only other team that will, quote-unquote, have some failures in the postseason other than the Cubs is Dodgers. So, I mean, so this ain't going to be no – this ain't going to be no – it may not be a clean sweep. It may not be a 4-1. It may have to go down to all seven. But I really feel in my heart of hearts right now that they are playing some of the best ball they're playing and that their bats are going to wake up and they're not just going to be sleeping the rest of this postseason. Your bats are going to wake up, Mike. I really honestly believe that. I am sending that positive thought your way.
The law of averages tells me that. Well, the law of averages tells us that. You know, when Rizzo has had his shortcomings, if you will, this is about the time he snaps out of it, okay? And sometimes, and I said this last year in the playoffs on this show, and it's right before you joined us, and thank you, been a wonderful year, almost on your 1 year anniversary with us here at the Stolen Sports, was that I think it's easier for this young team to play away from home because of the pressures of Chicago, because of when the going gets rough, the crowd gets tough. And I mean that in the silence of them. You know what I mean? Like, this team typically doesn't be silent. The crowd is always live and hype. So, right now, I just tell you right now, I'm a little bit worried about the Chicago Cubs as a fan, but as an intelligent sports fan that I am, you're right. I have absolutely nothing to worry about. They got to come out of L.A. with a 2-1, with a 3-1 lead to come home for game six and close it out. You know, that's what they have to do. Matter of fact, is the baseball playoffs, is it 2-3-2? Or is it like the stupid NBA where it's 2-2-1-1-1? I'm not a fan of that. I know people
do
like that.
I'm
very old
school.
I've always liked the 2-3-2 better.
Hey, man, why is there more drama in 2-3-2?
I do, too, but people say it's not fair to, you know, the other teams that, you know, you get three straight home games like that.
Great basketball players who close out all these great basketball players who close out people at home on their home turf when they had three straight home games to actually get back in and win. We just want to discredit that because they didn't have an advantage. They beat them at their own home turf and they came five.
Well, I'm saying right now, like I said, the Cubs batters 3, 4, and 5 hitters are 6-for-60 this postseason. And I like you said, I need, you know, you got people out here writing, you know, they're exposed. And I don't think you can expose anybody. It's baseball. It's baseball's a long grinding out sport. And I don't think, I just don't think they're out of it. So I don't think they've been exposed either. So when teams are saying, you know, when people are writing that and, you know, these guys are exposed and this is going on and this is going on, I don't personally buy that. 347-637-3859. I'm trying to get a look right here. It does look like it goes for L.A. Pacific time. Yeah, so it's 2-3. So, yeah, it goes 2-3-2. The way I think all playoffs will go up in a best-of-seven series. So, there's three games in L.A. So, L.A.'s looking to not have to go back to Chicago at all. Who cares what is fair to the other teams? Explain that one to me, King Von Jr. 720 on the Twitter. Did we say something that referenced that and whatnot? 3-4.
You were talking about how some people think that the three straight home games for the opposing team was unfair to the team with the better record
Right. Well, the reason why I say that because although I like it that way for my old reasons, me being a stubborn traditionalist that I am.
Get off my lawn.
I'm really that person. I understand because you're like, well, if I have the best record, then why is the other team getting three straight at home? You know what I mean? But to me, I think it's too much travel days involved when you go 2-2, 1-1-1, especially in the NBA. You know, Major League Baseball, like this is the NBA, we will not have game three tomorrow. If we have an NLCS, game three wouldn't be till Thursday. If this was the NBA, and I think that's the biggest problem in the NBA playoffs. We discussed that on another day as well. 3-4-7-3-3. I'm sorry, Vaughn got me laughing. Stubborn. Call me a stubborn old man. I am 3-4-7-3-6-3-7-3-8-5-9. I've known that number for 8 years. I've never stumbled upon it. Vaughn got me laughing really hard right here. I just can't get over that. I mean, the Cubs, I mean, like I said, because before I go into wrestling, I just got to keep it real. Like, Eagles lose to the Redskins. I have to admit how great the Dallas Cowboys are, because I'm a very harsh person. You know that, Mike, and my listeners know that.
Oh, yeah.
I will rip you. But I'm not afraid to go ahead and put a foot in my mouth. And I was completely wrong. I still don't think I'm 100% wrong about about Ezekiel Elliott. I'm under the belief that the offensive line is so good, anybody could go through. I mean, the boy is fast, though. I give him that. Okay, you can't teach speed. Speed's not taught. Speed is God-given. You know, speed is God-given. So he does his part. But I think that offensive line, I think Ryan Prescott, and I think the offensive coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys, God can put this to be the best team in the NFC, and I have to say that. That bothers me. On top of Notre Dame football losing to Stanford after being up 10-0 and without Jory McCaffrey playing that game as well. 347-637-3859. What are we going to do, Mike? We're going to take our last break of the day. Wally had to go take care of a business adventure. I'm really under the weather. Jay Chris is MIA. That's what it is. And we're going to get into WWE Raw. Talk about what's going on in the world of WWE. They didn't have a wrestling show on Perfect Plex last week. And we'll be right back after this, Michael. Go ahead and roll that beautiful, beautiful Bean footage. Hopefully it's Sierra and 50 Cent. Or probably not.
Again?
Out loud. I don't know. I'm just joking. We'll be right back, y'all. Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP. Hope well.
Got me up all night. All I'm singing is love songs. She got me up all night. Constant drinking and love songs. She got me up all night. Down and out with these love songs. She got me up all night. Drowning out with these love songs. She got me up all night. Yeah. All I'm singing is love songs. She got me up all night. Yeah. Constant drinking and love songs. She got me up all night. We are.
And we are back, Fox Sports Radio 1340 WHAP. And it's been a while, so I got to do it, y'all.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. Oh, no worries, ladies and gentlemen. So here's what we got going on. It's been a while since it happened. It's been a while, and because we were too busy doing that dapping. But we still have one of the best in the world
going on right now.
I don't know what happened to your music. I don't even know what happened to you. So I was going ahead and rolling there, bro, because that's what we do here on the Soul Sports One Spirit Crew.
You have no idea what you got involved with. You have no idea who you're messing with. You have no idea. Congratulations.
Y'all better tune in to Monday nights after Raw. To the only show doing a recap when it goes off. You know how Mondays go. Watch your Raw first. Then listening to the Perfect Flex Radio. Shout out to the CEO, my homie Mike Knox.
What up?
AKA the Stephen A. Smith, the wrestler.
Get out of here with that.
And if you ever met him, you know he knows his wrestling. Don't believe me, check out his title collection.
The King of Belts. Hey.
I am the King of Belts, y'all. 347-637-3859. And just a quick Monday Night Raw look ahead right now. I mean, first of all, let me just say this. Shout out to Seth Rollins. And in the words of M.E. Richmond on the Twitter, can we trade Cameron Newton for Seth Rollins for sticking up for Black Lives Matter and understanding what that actually means? That's all I want to say about that. Shout out to Colin Kaepernick, who played a good game and they got their asses whooped yesterday. But
big time.
Monday Night Raw is here, and the question is, and it's been going around for 2 weeks, will Bill Goldberg accept the challenge from Brock Lesnar? Can I say I don't give a damn about Bill Goldberg? Tweet it, quote me, I don't care. I love Brock Lesnar. I thought Goldberg was great in his time, but that time has come and gone. Have you seen one William Goldberg lately? He doesn't have nowhere near the body mass nor the muscle that he had before. So watching him fight Brock Lesnar a second time, I wouldn't, if they were on fire, piss on that match to stop the fire from burning how bad that match has the potential of being. I will say this. Despite the fact that I thought the first match, if you go back and watch WrestleMania 20 and you turn down the volume and you just watch the match, wasn't a bad match. But the fact is, wrestling fans, we all knew both were leaving. We all knew this ahead of time. And in the words of Brian H. Waters, they crapped and disrespected WrestleMania. They did. That's what they did. So why am I supposed to all of a sudden care about this again? Micah, can you please explain to me? Because I don't give a damn about Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar. I don't damn.
I understand. First and foremost, the Black Lives Matter comic was specifically made by our very own King Von,
Junior 720
on the Twitter. It's all good because we always get credit where credit is due. And so when I said it, I stole that from him. but it's all love. Secondly, just like you tell me, as wrestling fans, there's certain things they're doing in the company that ain't for us. This is not something for us. This is that thing that is not for us wrestling fans. It's hardcore wrestling fans that know what those two did to us when they were leaving at the same time. So they're bringing this back for people who only know Goldberg from the streak, from Who's Next, from, you know, we try to recreate him with Ryback, but it ain't the same, so we're going to bring him back either. We're gonna bring him back. That's what we're gonna do. And then I'm gonna talk about the Brock Lesnar that was behind the past. If you're not subscribed to the WWE Network, you're not even watching that WrestleMania 20 match. So you can't relate. So if you're a kid, if you're a person that's younger than me,
and you never got a chance to see that match, then you don't remember the hatred or the angst or anything as a hardcore wrestling fan. So they're shoving it down our throats for the main reason, younger fans who never seen who's next, never really seen it in person. Also, the game release. They did the same thing with Sting. They did the same thing with Sting when they brought him back. He was on the cover. He was a DLC, you know, gave him the Hall of Fame. This could all just be going for Goldberg to be into the WWE Hall of Fame and also to market the game because he's a downloadable character. As soon as I saw, honestly, this is what I'm telling you, I don't even play the WWE 2K games. I'm probably missing out on some good stuff. Let me tell you,
well,
Mike.
Well, let me just blind tag you right there and say, with all due respect, this is arguably the greatest wrestling game they've ever made. It's at least the best wrestling game they've made since. And correct me if I'm wrong, and sometimes I get my dates wrong. Which one, is it Here Comes the Pain or Just Bring It, where you could go like on the L station and you go backstage, you had a different option of how you would have your storyline go? I think it was
Just Bring It.
I think you're Just Bring It. You're right, Just Bring It. No, it was because you can go to WWE New York and all the other kind of stuff. This is the best wrestling game since Just Bring It. It really, really is. It's amazing.
Hey, well, I'm in.
There you go. Absolutely amazing. It's the game. But go ahead with your point.
No. Vaughn corrected. He said it's Here Comes the Pain. Because I definitely know he plays it more than I do. So my point is just simply this, okay? They're just setting all of this up specifically for game promotion and for Goldberg's Hall of Fame induction. When he was announced as a DLC, when they broke him out in that WWE 2K17 commercial, I was like, he's coming back and he's wrestling somebody. I don't know who, but he's going to wrestle somebody. And I wouldn't be surprised if he has a string of wrestling matches to kind of get him back in the ring shape. And then, lo and behold, the first person they put him against is Brock Lesnar. I'm like, great.
I'm sorry. He needs to get back on the needle because he looks small. He looks with no muscles. It's what it is. I'm sorry. I am a wrestling fan. I believe I speak for a certain demographic of wrestling fans. Bill Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar equals rap is crap today. That's what it equals. Nobody wants to see Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar. They don't. Hashtag Raw. Hashtag I am more interested. I'm sorry. Let's get off of Goldberg's punk ass, okay? And let's say this. I am excited about Hell in a Cell because Sasha Banks versus Charlotte right now. But here's my thing about Charlotte versus Sasha Banks in Hell in a Cell.
Preach.
I don't want them to get to the point where I was watching Orton versus Cena. I remember, people, keep in mind, let's relax. Please calm down. Do not toot my horn yet. So I'm coming at you fans when I say this. Wrestling is about what these girls are doing. The problem is that we have the internet today. 15 years ago, 20 years ago, if these girls wrestled this many times, would nobody care? Unfortunately, times have changed. And even my stubborn old ass has to change my ways and say, you know what? I love these two girls. I think Charlotte, obviously, is my favorite of the two. But let's not border it down over and over and over and over and over and over again so quickly. That's all I'm saying. Even though towards the tail end of their rivalry with Orton and Cena, before those almost a year straight matches that they went against each other, they were hit and miss. They would, you know, they would have a rivalry every other year, you know, every 9 months. They would wrestle other people during those times. These two girls, they're watering down these two girls. And I think Raw last week was so damn good. I'm excited about tonight to watch as well, including to see, well, Team Red except Team Blue's SmackDown's live Survivor Series challenges, Michael.
And when I heard, I was like, okay, so they're going to do Bragging Rights at Survivor Series. That's a good way to do it. You don't have to set up a whole new, brand new pay-per-view for SmackDown versus Raw when you have a pay-per-view that's really geared towards it in Survivor Series. Great. Well, how many matches you want? A women's division? A tag team division? Your best single stars? What? Can we? Okay. I'm not. You know, I'm okay with like 800 Survivor Series matches in the pay-per-view. I guess it could work if they do it right. And you know they're going to accept it because wrestling is storyline. And what's one of the things that has been going on Twitter, on Facebook, in social media around the world, and a lot of people who are hardcore fans like you and I have been saying that, yeah, Raw has had it hard because they've been going against the Bates. They've been going against Monday Night Football. So really, they really haven't been losing against SmackDown as far as ratings are concerned. They've been the better show and all that, and you got SmackDown pundits is like, no, it doesn't matter what excuse you got. If your show's good, your show's good. They make his Monday Night Football before, and they were having threes and fours. They stink. That's why Raw stinks. And you know what? That all is going to lead us to Survivor Series, and that's going to be a fantastic series of matches, and I'm excited for it. To your point about Sasha Banks and Charlotte, I have to agree with you, because the one thing that I don't want to happen is such a good level division, such good talent. I mean, they have other ladies in there that can do something, that can bring something different to the table. They may not be the nice level of heat, respect, and wrestling that Sasha Banks and Charlotte can bring to a match, but it can be something that can give us a little cool down period so that when we get Sasha and Charlotte again, if we have to, then it's something that's valuable. And I think that's what WWE, maybe I'm wrong, you know, correct me. You've been a wrestling fan longer than I have. But one of the things that I liked about TV feuds, about the Orton TV feuds, is how they gave us a slow burn, how they didn't give us separate matches between the same guys every single week or every other pay-per-view. It was like, okay, this pay-per-view starts the rivalry. Let's say it was WrestleMania that started the rivalry. The rivalry ended at the following WrestleMania after the guys may have wrestled twice in between. But outside of that, it was y'all jacking. It was interfering in each other's matches. It was getting tired of this, trying to end this. And you started at WrestleMania, you ended at WrestleMania. It was a nice one-year burn, and you felt it. You were connected. Randy Orton and John Cena, you know, have their rivalry and have all three matches back-to-back pay-per-views. And I'm like, okay, nothing special now. It's not special. And I think when you take this Hell in a Cell match, if they put them in another match right after Hell in a Cell, then the specialness of this particular feud is going to go away. Prime example, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Have you seen Sami Zayn sniff Kevin Owens yet?
No, we haven't.
Since that battleground?
No. No, we haven't.
So,
well, I'm hoping maybe this is their last match. I'm hoping that,
exactly.
That because remember Hell in a Cell, you know, and I know if Spot was here, he would agree with this. It was always a bigger, you know, that was the ending rivalry as well. It's Hell in a Cell, so that was a closing chapter on a rivalry. You know what I mean? So I'm hoping that's what's going to happen now. You know, I mean, that's all I can hope for that. That's what happens here. Real fast, when we get up out of here, what's your thoughts of tonight on Raw? What's going to happen?
Well, my main thing is I want them to try to make me believe, even as a hardcore fan, that it's worth Goldberg coming back. I want to believe that it's worth Goldberg coming back. The other thing is I want to have my anger justified as to why the club has not won the tag team titles off the New Day.
I don't want to go into that with you guys. They don't need to win the titles for New Day. I'm sorry. Wrestling fans who want to get their wet dreams over their little beloved New Japan Pro Wrestling and their beloved Bullet Club, who I'm a huge fan of. I'm sorry. Everybody was jockeying at the chance to love the New Day. Now they got them in a position. I'm sorry. I don't give a damn. I've watched plenty of Caucasian superstars run roughshod over the WWE and have titles. I don't care. I'm not the biggest fan of New Day anymore. Not them individually, but how their characters have developed. Okay? I'm not with the stuff of the lines that Big E said last week was completely what the H double hot stick are you talking about. Okay?
Exactly.
But with that being said, I don't care. Let them brothers have that title and break Demolition's record as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, I'm fine. I mean, so you're going to be fine if the New Day breaks the Demolition record and then drop the belts.
I wouldn't give a god darn Fig Newton.
A god darn Fig Newton or a god darn Cam Newton?
Fig Newton. I don't care about Cam Newton anymore. He's not for me, so I'm not for him.
Well, I understand. So, I mean, Cam Newton knows, but Cam Newton, Colin Kaepernick, they don't speak for all blacks. Hopefully, they just speak for themselves. So that's what I'm excited about. But the main thing is I want to see I'm loving what they're doing with Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. I love how Seth Rollins has been being booked, where he's technically still kind of a heel. But, you know, he's kind of like, okay, slowly turn to a face, going to be that anti-hero type dude. And you know it's getting set up for your boy, right? It's going to be set up. Is it going to be Survivor Series, though? I got to ask you. Is it Survivor Series going to do it? No, not Scrub. I'm talking about Triple H.
No, I don't think it would be set up for Triple H yet. I don't, but I haven't gone there, and I don't want to go there, so I've tried my best not to jump along anymore. That's just me.
you know it's going to happen, though. We see the teams planning, and they're doing it slowly. They're not rushing it, and that's what the best part about what they're doing with Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins right now is that they're not rushing. They're letting them be who they are, and they're letting it develop, and they're letting us dive into it. I'm liking what's going on between Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. I like the fact that Roman Reigns out the picture when it comes to the main title card right now, and that we can give some other guys his level of star appeal and his star attraction, and give that mid-card title some gumph, some talking about, because mid-card titles on both shows need that. They need that kind of dynamic and that rivalry to make those parts of the card successful, so that way you can have a pay-per-view that's just like, okay, your women's division is ready, your mid-card male title is ready, your cruiserweight people care about, your tag team title people care about, your main title people care about, and we're fully invested. And I do have to agree with you when it comes to Raw actually improving in that, because it used to not be that way before the brand split. We've seen that, where none of the titles matter except for the main title. And so
that's actually what's beautiful about everything. Real fast, because I'm get up out of here a little early. Like I said, my throat is absolutely – this is painful to talk, guys, and I miss being here with you guys. I love you guys for staying with us, almost close to pushing up on a couple, you know, months back, coming up 2,000 episodes that I've done here over the last 8 years. Many have tried, many have come, but I've been here consistently. I'm not without my crew as they rotate in and out, not without, you know, listeners, without my wife's support, my children's support for me to love in this. And like I said, I never really knew how inspirational TC was to me until this morning. And I realized working with this guy, here go a guy who, if you hang around me, when it comes to being on air, I'm really a hard ass. You know, I want things to be a certain way. This is why I love my crew. I can talk to them in the heat of the moment. They don't take it nowhere than that's Mike in the heat of the moment of trying to make the show better for you guys. But I met TC. We were working at PPG Auto Glass together, and I was a supervisor. And I'm looking at this kid who just didn't want to listen. He didn't want to do the work. And he would constantly tell us, this is not what I'm here for. This is not what I'm here for. You know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I'm like, well, I don't care about none of that. You're here now. You need to do this. And he left that job, and he went out, and he lived and found a way to make his dreams come true. And for today, I give him the praise, and I give him, and I honor him, rather, today and his death. It meant a lot to me, and he meant a lot to me and my family, and being there for me when my mother passed, and just being someone who, the a-hole person I can be, saw past that and still was able to see the true me and to know my heart and to be great in that. So with that being said, on that being my final note, guys, when we got out of here, do not wake up tomorrow morning and look in the mirror, you're brushing your teeth, wiping the cold out your eyes, see who this page and you and why, and say, I love me some me, and don't love God, because without him, we are absolutely nothing. To God be the glory, best and worst of the weekend. I had nothing great. Micah is having a boy, y'all. Only took one shot. One shot. All I need is one mic, and he got it. Congratulations to Micah on that. Listen, guys, we're going to get up out of here. Do not wake up tomorrow and say to yourself, I love me to me and don't love God. We out of here, y'all. Thanks.
Franchise. This is the Soulin' Sports, hosted by Mike Knox. It's barbershop talk, still we think outside the box. We take it to the hoop, y'all be trying to find your shot. Sports talk, the best on the dial when it's time to rock. We talking football, baseball, boxing, any sports you can name. Keep your radios locked in. Listen, you can get the scoop on all your top 10. Mike Knox, Soulin' Sports, we keep it hot, man.
And next up on the ride, look how Stone Cold sets up.
If you're not down with